가슴 급해 꺼내 착체하러
Yeah, very good idea. Okay. 21, we all chant together.
Okay. On page 64, if you don't know the verse to say before, merely thinking of just your name eradicates all obstacles and immediately purifies all negative karma. Thus to you, unsurpassed Vajrasattva, I make prostration. Om Vajrasattva Samaya Manupalaya
Vajrasattva Dina Bhavate Dato Dome Bhava Soto Kayo Me Bhava Subo Kayo Me Bhava Anurato Me Bhava Sawase Dina Bhava Sawakama Sutsame Chitam Shriya Kuro
Om
So now please deep down from your heart to imagine the Buddha was just calling your name and telling you that all the negative karma since from beginning of times completely purified, okay? So then Buddha was just remain in your heart forever. Good evening, welcome back to head spinning class. Yeah, it's been now 1 week, right? 1 week. Last Friday, I was sick. Sorry. So Chukila, whenever Chukila, where we stop?
We were at the very end of the mode of asserting objects. We were at the definition of ultimate truth. The bottom of page 17 in the Sangikaiser
translation. Baba, you think it is the Pumongala ten tabe ngatam kanzaga CD. He says, okay, now this is like the how to define self in Pasangika system. So Pumongala ten tabe ngatam kanzaga CD. So Gonzalo Dimitri chapter. Pumbunga, five aggregate. Pumbunga, you know, the level person or beings is putting on based on five aggregate. You know, five, depending on five aggregate, it's called mere self. That's what self. So now here, the word mere, you know, is carrying some deeper meaning, or not some, that mere excludes inherent, existing by its own side, and all of them, you know, that the mere excludes, like exclude, or how you say, mere, how you say, eliminate all that, you know, inherent existing self, solid self, absolute self, all of that, you know, it's eliminated. That's like, here it's called mere self, mere I.
Yeshua, just before that, the definition of ultimate truth, I don't think we covered that, did we?
Okay. Tadu jiji timinye de kaage, tadu jiji timo rani, tadu jiji timo suno rani, na de mayim bichini. Sino gulim dachin, kab din go de la, na de bichaba chilim bichini. So can you please read that in English?
The definition of an ultimate truth is an object found by a valid cognizer distinguishing a final phenomena. And with respect
the final phenomena, that's the ultimate truth. Eh?
And with respect to which a valid cognizer distinguishing a final phenomena becomes a valid cognizer distinguishing a final phenomena.
Yeah, that sounds very easy. Isn't it? Sounds very easy, right? The valid cognizer corresponding with the ultimate of the ultimate the final phenomena refers to nature, true nature of the phenomena, that's emptiness. Final phenomena refers to emptiness, ultimate truth. So mind that corresponding with the ultimate truth, so ultimate truth or final phenomena in the same Padujitsema. Every phenomenon has two aspects, conventional aspect, ultimate aspect. So then one person analyze. So further, you know, beyond conventional reality, analyze, then reach to the final phenomena, that is true nature. You know? That's called final. Conventional reality is not final, it's just appearances. You know? That's the final phenomena that refers to the like two natures, no, that's like beyond conventional. So that's called final phenomena, and the same is no emptiness. So the final phenomena is the object of mind that analyze, you know, beyond conventional truth. No, so that's bottom line. That's what it is. No, so but the word. So the way they word it is kind of like, this is like, why there are so many words? Because in debate, when you debate, it's necessary. All the word is necessary to prevent some argument. It's necessary. So you have to be very precise. So because of that, there are so many words. So bottom line is like, mind that corresponding with the final phenomena, and final phenomena which is the object of the mind that analyze the beyond conventional reality. So that's what it is. Okay? So now division is the same as mind only school. Same mind school. If you recall what the division in the mind school. So the Gaudiya here, cessations, the Gaudiya, the other thing which I was all the cessations are ultimate truth. There's no different than emptiness. So other school cessation is considered as a conventional truth, conventional reality. No, in this Prasangika system, cessation is ultimate reality. No? So other systems, they talk about that, like as when you freeing yourself from all the delusions, so that part is called cessations. No, that part is called cessations. You cease. When you cease all the delusions from your mind stream, so that part is called cessations. No, there's like, on the other system, there's like conventional realities. In Pasangika systems, all the defilements kind of like, for example, all the cloud in the sky, you know, when you see the sky with the cloud, when the cloud disappears, it's on the sky. When it disappears, then you see the true sky, that's all you see. It's the same like Tima. It's all the defilement sees within the mind. So that is, and there from there, this emptiness. So, well, how you say, like, freedom itself, the mind, the freedom of like defilement is within the mind. It's within the mind. So other school calls that's like cessations, but for them it's like conventional reality. In Pasangika, there's no difference than true nature of mind. It's the ultimate truth, and that's why they all the cessations, true cessations, they are ultimate truth. They are not conventional truth. There's a big difference between Pasangika and other schools. Okay. Can you read that part, please?
The divisions of ultimate truth are like those of Chittamatra, subtle selflessness of persons and subtle selflessness of phenomena. But this system asserts that true cessations are pervaded by ultimate truth.
Yeah, true cessations, because some of the cessations, they just call cessations, but it's not true cessations. So, that's probably, if you remember, so we already covered that, so far. That means you go back to now. So if you reread the maybe it's like in manual school or something like that, so you find that, because that's called true cessation. Why just another cessation is called cessation, but not true cessation. It's called cessations. There's no reason, but it's not really true cessations. That's what they have to say here. For the sake of debate, you know, they have to say, they have to be precise. That's why they're saying true cessations are ultimate truth. Not all the cessations, because within the cessations, some of them are not true cessations. It's just called cessations. So, number five.
The mode of asserting object possessors.
Yeah.
They assert the mere I imputed in dependence on the five aggregates as the illustration of the person, and person is pervaded by non-associated compositional factor.
So first one is just like the mere eyes is like imputed its own aggregate, no? Mere eyes. So then what mere, that's important here, mere, that how you say mere, exclude. So all above that, they're talking about inherent self, you know, self that exists for its own side, all of that. So these are all gone. And here there's no absolute self, there's no inherent self, self that doesn't exist for its own side. These are all quote mere, kind of, it just cuts all of that. So mere are converting, you know. Non-compositional factors. So as I mentioned before, when you talk about, there are like something that's like all the visible objects called form. Form, shape, all of that, no. So then there's another category, it's called consciousness. So then there are some phenomena that exist that neither consciousness nor form, that falls into the category of non-compensated factors, such as month, day, week, year, person, being, all of that. Yeah, move on, please. Is it clear? Yeah.
There are two kinds of mind, valid cognizers and non-valid cognizers. There are two kinds of valid cognizers, valid direct perceivers and valid inferential cognizers. They do not assert self-cognizing direct perceivers. Sense consciousnesses in sentient beings' continuums are pervaded by mistaken consciousnesses.
Recalling something. So in the school who accept self-knower, they are thinking because of self-knower, because of that we can remember certain things. If there's no self-knower, there's no way to recall anything, you know. So in the Prasangika systems, you can either so this is also something to homework, that is good to why Prasangika system does not assert self-knower. This is also good to know.
Sense consciousnesses in sentient beings' continuums are pervaded by mistaken consciousnesses.
Mistaken? Why is it mistaken? Because they are everything appears as a truly existence. That's why. Everything appears as a truly existence. That's why it's mistaken. Consciousness, every object that appears to the consciousness is appears as a truly existence. Therefore, it's mistaken. Doesn't mean that consciousness does not understand object. The consciousness understands object, but at the same time is mistaken. It's a mistaken respect to the way object, how the object appears to the consciousness. It appears as a true existence, inherent. That's why it's mistaken.
Mental consciousnesses and yogic direct perceivers can be either mistaken or non-mistaken.
So then all the illustrations come. So we'll Muslim just to cover. Is it the Nanjing Muslim that too much in the age?
There are two kinds of valid direct perceivers.
Is it the Nanjing Muslim that too much in the age? See. The mind that sees emptiness directly, that's the only mind that's unmistaken. Other than that, so when you see impermanence directly, that mind that sees emptiness impermanence directly is yogic direct perceiver, at the same time is mistaken, because the way the impermanence appears is inherent. So that's why it's kind of big difference. All the other schools, the yogic direct perceiver is always unmistaken. In this case, the mistake, there's two, some of them unmistaken, one is the mistaken, one is non-mistaken, is like the direct yogic perceivers, which sees emptiness directly, that's unmistaken. Direct yogic perceiver, which sees impermanence directly, that's probably mistaken. So, so maybe you see, maybe it'll come down, so.
There are two kinds of valid direct perceivers.
This is also very unique. This one also is very unique with respect to other schools.
Conceptual valid direct perceivers and non-conceptual valid direct perceivers.
Yeah, so conceptual direct perceiver, that doesn't exist at all in school. Vivasika, Sastantika, Siddha Matra, so that doesn't exist at all. Here, there's a Toje Sama. Can you repeat this, please? What?
conceptual, valid, direct perceivers,
yeah,
and non-
valid, direct perceivers, and conceptual, they are contradictions. Others call them. Here, this is now is very unique. Was it project was in Samadhan, Tommy was some new show.
Examples of the former, the conceptual, valid, direct perceivers, are the second moment of an inferential cognizer realizing sound is impermanent, and a remembering consciousness correctly remembering blue that is generated by being induced by a sense direct perceiver apprehending blue.
Here, direct perceiver, no, this. Direct perceiver is not different than obvious as the object. Object, you remember the three objects. Obvious, hidden, very hidden. So in the Prasangika system, there's not much difference between obvious object and direct perceiver. That's what they call. You know, Muslim, it's kind of like. But we learn in Vivasika, Sarastantika, Chidamala school, or direct perceiver always means consciousness. In this case, it doesn't always mean consciousness because it means obvious object. No, that's what it is. So otherwise, there will be no mind which is conceptual and at the same time is direct perceiver. The direct perceiver, we just think about obvious object. Obvious object. Phenomena, obvious phenomena, not the object, phenomena. There are three types of phenomena, obvious, hidden, very hidden.
The consciousness that perceives that.
Yeah, direct perceiver that interact with the obvious phenomena. Then hidden and very hidden, that, you know, not just direct perceiver, is done by both, you know, mainly corresponded by conceptual thought. But there's a different school. There's a different school. Understand? Here, just think about when you see the word direct perceiver, just think about obvious phenomena, that's all. Don't think about consciousness. Then it'll screw up. Then it'll mess up your understanding of direct perceiver.
But direct perceiver isn't talking about that phenomenon.
No, here in this case, it's all. You know, there's object, subject, all. Which is like, yeah, so that's kind of like ironic, doesn't make sense because we used to know direct perceiver means consciousness. So now in this system, it's changed. Change. Direct perceiver doesn't mean consciousness. Make sense?
It's completely outside of consciousness.
It's both consciousness, object, subject, both. It's not just subject. It's also object, it's also too. Yeah.
It's also not the
personal.
It's also not.
Dhamme-de-jabha-ki-ni-bha-je. Ngu-su-to-je-ngu-su-n-che-ma-ta. Tome-ngu-su-che-ma-ni-je. Dhamme-de-jabha-ki-ni-bha-je. So maybe we'll further read so that it'll be more clear.
Okay. An example of the latter, and now we're talking about the
non-conceptual. Now the second one, so the second illustration, the second one.
An example of the latter is a sense direct perceiver apprehending form.
So,
valid direct perceivers are not pervaded by directly perceivable because yogic direct perception is necessarily not directly perceivable.
Reason.
This is because directly perceivable is mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena.
The manifest phenomena. Now, see, that's what the point is. manifest phenomena, they're same like the three phenomena, manifest or you can say obvious, hidden, very hidden. So now if you can repeat that last word.
Manifest phenomena?
Yes.
Directly perceivable is mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena.
Can you repeat this again, please?
This is because directly perceivable is mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena.
Directly perceive?
Directly perceivable.
It's a direct perceiver, direct perceivable.
Valid direct perceivers are not pervaded by directly perceivable because yogic direct perception is necessarily not directly perceivable.
Direct yogic perceiver is not. It's not, I say, not direct perceiver? Direct yogi, huh? Direct yogi perceiver is not, not?
Right. Not directly perceivable.
Yeah. Not necessarily that part, no need to say. It's not. Direct yogi perceiver is not directly perceivable.
Yeah.
What's the difference between directly perceivable and direct perceiver? Huh?
Directly perceivable, I would think, is something that can be sensed by a direct perceiver. Right? Perceivable means it's an object that can be perceived.
What's the difference between directly perceivable and a manifest phenomena?
Well, it says this is direct. It says here that directly perceivable is mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena.
What's the difference between manifest phenomena and directly perceivable?
There is no difference, right?
Can I read the other translation? I think it's
You can do it.
If it is a direct valid cognizer, it does not necessarily have a perceptible object because. If it is a yogic direct perceiver, it necessarily does not have a perceptible object. This is so because perceptible object and manifest object are equivalent.
Mm. I need to think. So maybe is there be one more Friday or no? Today was the same. Your question will take time, so I will answer. I will answer right now. My brain is not working properly. That part of the brain is not working. Still is wondering why not the first moment of what you call conceptual death, like
inferential. The second moment of an inferential cognition.
Yeah, she was wondering why not the first moment of inferential cognizer. So,
the question is why the first moment of conceptual cognizer is. What's the question?
Why the second moment? Why the first one is not the illustration of the.
In the example that they give, what says the example of the former are the second moment of an inferential cognizer, realizing sound is.
I see. Example is the former, so conceptual valid direct perceiver, the second moment of an inferential cognizer, but not the first.
Oh, so that probably takes. You are welcome to answer. You have answer. There is answer. I don't remember, but there's answer. I don't remember.
Okay, I think somewhere it must mean, but it means then that it's not the first. Or does it mean it's the first and the second?
Yeah. Why the first? Why did bring up the first one?
Right.
If it was the first, they would have said.
Right.
Example. Moment of whatever it is.
I'll think about
moment
it.
Moment of an inferential cognizer.
They don't need to say second moment, first moment. They just say inferential cognizer. Mm-hmm. So why cannot say that?
So maybe it's just because we're not aware of that first moment. And so in this school, valid direct perceivers are really what you are aware of. And so I'm guessing, like from the other schools, we know that that first initial moment, we don't really have awareness of that.
And the first moment, other school, the first moment is valid cognizer.
Right.
Second moment is not valid cognizer.
So I'm saying in this school, I think it's the opposite. I think they're saying that first moment, you don't really have any awareness of it, and their definition of a valid direct perceiver is more about that awareness of what you're perceiving and the object that you're perceiving. There's more, like you just said, it's not just the perceiver, it's also the object, it's everything combined.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just guessing that the reason they're talking about it being the second moment is because that's the moment that you actually are aware. And just a wild guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wild guess. Thank you for trying. How do you say?
Yeah, thank you for trying.
Thank you for trying very hard, but I don't think that's the answer. So I think probably it'll take time, so maybe need to really think. So another thing too important to remember here has a subsequent cognizer. all the subsequent cognizers are valid cognizers in these systems. That's something to keep in your mind.
I'm in the neighborhood.
Yeah, you're in the neighborhood.
You're in the state.
True. Yeah, in the Wake County? The same county.
Well, on this chart, I'm still struggling with the understanding of what's valid cognizer, and this chart, I think, is getting... It says, you know, the definition of a valid cognizer. Can I read it? A knower that is incontrovertible with respect to its object of engagement. And then the definition of a direct valid cognizer, an incontrovertible knower that apprehends its manifest object. So I'm trying to figure out what's the difference in one...
Is it a Pasanki system?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Oh, so now, just hold on. So we may find your answer, so maybe we'll read down a little bit, so I almost have answers, so not... Now there are two struggles for a child here. The one is like, say, direct yogic perceiver is not direct perceiver because?
Right. Valid direct perceivers are not pervaded by directly perceivable because yogic direct perception is necessarily not directly perceivable.
So these two things about the daily yogic perceivers and why not the first moment of the conversion cognizer, maybe need to wait. So,
can I just take one try at the direct yogic perceiver? So the valid direct perceiver may or may not have a perceptible object because a yogic direct perceiver is a direct valid perceiver, and they don't have a perceptible object because their object isn't a manifest object. Is that close at all?
So that needs to think more about the reason. Because?
Right.
Because?
This is because directly perceivable is mutually inclusive with manifest
phenomena. Yeah, that must be the reason. So from there, then you have to find answer. Are you able to find answer?
Well, I thought I just said what I thought it was. that yogic direct perceivers...
Itself. We are not talking about object. We are talking about direct yogic perceiver itself. We are not talking about the object of the direct yogic perceiver. That's not what we are talking about. We are talking about direct yogic perceiver itself, right? Understand? Shukla.
Well, in the other translation it says this is so because perceptible object and manifest object are equivalent.
No, no, so can you read that?
If it is a direct valid cognizer, it does not necessarily have a perceptible object.
No, no, there is yogi perceiver.
Right, because if
no,
it
no,
is
can
a...
You can read it, please, again, slowly.
If it is a direct valid cognizer...
No, no, there is yogi perceiver.
Right, that's coming up.
Why is coming later?
It's a because.
Okay, okay, that's like confusing. Okay, yeah, please, one more. Sorry, I'm not hearing what I want to hear. So then I keep asking you to repeat. Yeah.
If it is a direct valid cognizer, it does not necessarily have a perceptible object, because if it is a yogic direct perceiver, it necessarily does not have a perceptible object. Wrong translation?
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you like or not. This is saying something is not just said here.
Okay, I'll go back to the other one then.
You're not saying the root text, you're saying something else. So.
Yeah, because I understood that one. Okay, so we'll go back to the right one.
Yeah, that's the reason why people like it, because that's so easy, so not... It's not complicated, it's very understandable. The other one, yeah.
Okay, I'll read the other one again. Valid direct perceivers are not pervaded by directly perceivable, because yogic direct perception is necessarily not directly perceivable.
See, no, that's the challenge. The direct yogic perceiver, no. Yeah, now I still understand that.
Okay, the problem with, I'm confused by that definition, because what does directly perceivable mean? It says, valid direct perceivers are not pervaded by directly perceivable. In English, there's some word missing from that. Directly perceivable.
I think they should say direct perceivers. Okay. Not like direct but perceivable or something. That's what is here. Here, Nanjo Muslim, in a Muslim language, this Muslim means the Muslim language. So then
valid direct perceivers are not pervaded by. By direct perceivers?
So here, they should stick with the word here. Nanjung was in us. Nanjung was just a direct yogic perceiver. Direct yogic perceiver is not direct perceiver. If something is direct yogic perceiver, does not have to be direct perceiver.
I see. That's what the translation should be.
Yeah, because then says no, direct perceiver and the manifest phenomena, they are mutually inclusive. That's how it sounds in the English. So then, you know, then now you, that give, then you learn to think. Direct perceiver, if something is direct yogic perceiver, and it has a So now, this Nanjung was in the Muslim language. There has a few words. It's almost like this. If somebody is steep, then it has a. Steve is not Tibetan. She's not Tibetan, right? Steve is not Tibetan. If somebody is Steve, then is it necessarily not to be Tibetan? Is that how you say? Huh? How you say?
Yeah.
Better English.
Yeah.
If somebody is Steve, they're necessarily not Tibetan.
Surely not Tibetan. Surely not Tibetan. Huh? If somebody is Steve, it's sure that's not Tibetan, whoever that is. Same like this. If something is very irrepressible, surely it's not direct perceiver.
Guess what? If we just cut some of the words out.
Because, you know, direct perceiver and the manifest phenomena, they are synonym. They are synonym.
Direct perceiver,
Direct perceiver and manifest phenomena or obvious phenomena, whatever you call, sometimes they call obvious, sometimes they call manifest. ko ngunjur intibeto ko ngunjur kokjur sindu kokjur hidden, very hidden.
But perceivable is about the object and perceiver is about the person, right?
No, no, perceivable is not in root text. If you say perceivable, then there's no difference between perceivable and manifest phenomenon. They are like saying the same thing again.
Right.
That doesn't make sense. No, that's not perceivable. That's, I think, I don't, I think that's not the right translations. So now?
Well, you're saying a direct perceiver, like a person, is mutually exclusive with a phenomenon? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. Say it again. Say it again, a little loud.
Well, I was thinking direct perceiver is mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena.
That's correct.
But the perceiver is the person and the phenomena is the phenomenon.
No, the perceiver is not the person. No. Perceiver is not the person.
Okay.
Perceiver is the consciousness. Right? There's a perceiver.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's consciousness, there's not the person. Yeah. Yeah, this is like totally unique, separate.
But Geshe-la, I have a question. So to build on the question so far, right? So direct perceiver, you said, if I'm not mistaken, that direct perceiver is synonymous with manifest phenomena,
mm-hmm.
right? So direct perceiver is a consciousness, right?
No, when you think synonym, it's not, obviously it's not consciousness.
Well, because I mean,
otherwise,
it's not synonym, it's mutually inclusive. Let's say...
No, it's a synonym, it's not mutually inclusive. The Tuenjik means synonym.
Okay, so what does it mean to say direct perceiver is synonymous with manifest phenomena? Because...
That means there's no difference. There's no
difference. So does that mean that prayer wheel is a direct perceiver?
Yeah, it sounds quite strange, but that's what it is.
That's what I'm saying.
That is what it is. That's exactly, you said, well said.
Well, finally.
Yeah, not finally. You said well said, but you know, that's, when you think about it from the other point of view, other system point of view, it sounds very crazy that, you know, it's not consciousness. So how it can be direct perceiver, you know? So the direct perceiver, whole concept of direct perceiver change.
Okay, I can't wait to hear what comes next.
Hmm?
Because it's totally blew my mind.
Next comes more headaches here.
But I think that's why it's the second moment.
So now, you know, the based on that, you know, because direct perceiver and the manifest phenomena, they are synonym. Therefore, something is direct yogic perceiver is necessarily not to be direct perceiver. So now, does that make sense? That's the reason. You can't just, you know, bring on your own reason, because that's the reason in the text. That's the reason. Because direct perceiver and manifest phenomena, they are synonym. No? They are like, synonym means if something is direct perceiver, it has to be manifest phenomena. If something is manifest phenomena, it has to be direct perceiver. That's the meaning of synonym. Tenjik means, you know. Tenjik means another, is something, you know, like this.
But
yeah, Chikula trying.
So, well, I just want to make sure that we're saying that this text is wrong, because it says directly perceivable is mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena. And you're saying that's not correct, right? It's direct perceiver.
It's a direct perceiver. The direct perceivable. So,
I'm going to have to think about that. I don't get it.
So there's, don't die there. So it is... has a directly perceivable. Perceivable, that is what the object.
That's right.
Second one is object. Then why you say two objects? No, then you don't need to say again, because you just say one. You know, why you say, if first one, directly perceivable, if that refers to clearly refers to object, the manifest phenomena, that's object. So then why you say two times?
So you said the same.
No, Tenjik means, you know, like, needs to be something like that. If you say, oh, product and product are synonym, that doesn't make sense. Product, you are saying two times. product and product. Synonym.
Huh? Then that would be a synonym, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, I don't think the first one refers to object, no? Directly perceivable, that's object that perceived by direct perceiver. So that's obviously just like manifest phenomena. Then that's no different than saying, oh, manifest phenomena and manifest phenomena, they are mutually inclusive.
But you wouldn't say product and product are synonyms. You'd say those are the same. But you might say a thing and a product are synonyms.
Impermanent and product, they are synonyms. Impermanent product synonyms, no?
Right.
Otherwise, no, you say, otherwise you can say because manifest phenomena and manifest phenomena, they are synonyms, mutually inclusive. That doesn't, why you say the word, one word again, no? So first one, direct perceivable. So now there's something to think about. Direct yogic perceiver, which is consciousness. Consciousness are not manifest phenomena. Consciousness are hidden phenomena. When you talk about three phenomena, manifest phenomena, very hidden phenomena. So consciousness falls into the second category. Manifest phenomena, you don't need reason. You just see. That's all. You know, fire on the mountain, that's hidden phenomena. You have to rely on reason. Consciousness, same. Direct yogic perceiver, no, you don't see like prayer will, no. It's the direct yogic perceiver is not manifest phenomena. Understand?
Well, I understand that, but if I apply that to the next part, direct perceiver is consciousness, so how can consciousness be manifest phenomena?
Huh? Which one?
When, if we say that the reason, the because, is because direct perceiver is mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena, but direct perceiver is consciousness. So how can consciousness be mutually inclusive with manifest phenomena?
Can you say that again?
So you were saying that the final reason you
direct perceiver in Pasanjika system is not consciousness at all. It's not consciousness. So that's the problem. When you think about direct perceiver, because we are wearing the old hat from Vasubandhu, from Vibhastika, Sarastantika, mind only school, because that's not, so then there's not the, like, here, that's like, that's what I'm saying, this is like totally different. You know, direct perceiver, we should not think, oh, that's the consciousness, that's our heart, non, like, this or not. So not, direct perceiver is not consciousness. Otherwise, it's consciousness, then Shukla, right? How come it's like mutual synonym with the manifest phenomena? There's no way.
Definition of
the subject
is direct perceiver.
No? So now, just hold on. So but like, step by step. Otherwise, our world is going upside down. So now, just try to understand first this one, okay? Just try to understand Shukla, this one. So see, now, the yogic direct perceiver, Shukla, the yogic direct perceiver is consciousness.
In this school?
Yes.
Yeah.
In this school, this old school, that doesn't matter. Old school, who accept direct yogic perceiver, same, there's no different consciousness. Yeah, direct consciousness. That consciousness, where it falls in these three phenomena, there's manifest phenomena, usually does not need to rely on reason to understand, such as prayer, you know. So there's another phenomenon hidden that need to rely on reason. Then another one then heavily rely on spiritual authorities, so the scriptures. So now consciousness, all the consciousness falls into the second category. That's what I think. Direct yogic perceivers now falls into second category. Therefore, it's not manifest phenomena. Make sense?
Yes.
Therefore, it's not direct perceivable. Because if something is direct perceivable in this system, it has to be manifest phenomena because they are synonym. This did solve the problem here.
So what you're saying is that a yogic direct perceiver is not a direct perceiver.
Yeah, why is not direct perceiver? Because now is the same, because it's not manifest phenomena. Why? Because manifest phenomena and direct perceiver, they are synonym. So then why is not manifest phenomena? Because it is, you have, in order to understand that, you have to rely on reason. If it's like manifest phenomena, you don't need to rely on reason, because you just, it's obvious, very obvious, you just see, you know. So understand direct yogic perceiver, first you have to understand selflessness intellectually, and so how the consciousness becomes direct yogic perceiver. You have to understand the whole process. That you need to rely on the reason. So then, now we have another problem here. Another the one we just solved. We have another problem here too.
So if I heard you right, then you cannot, like you just said, you cannot say direct perceiver. You can't just use the word manifest phenomena in place of direct perceiver, because then that's just the object, right? So you can't just say manifest phenomena in place of direct perceiver.
Right.
You use reason. So then what I'm hearing is that direct perceiver is both. It's
direct perceiver. Now what we need to get rid of from our head. So just get rid of the direct perceiver is not consciousness here. It's not consciousness. If you keep thinking, then it's going to be more complicated.
It's not consciousness, but it's not just the object. It's the relationship between consciousness and object. Because you said you have to use reason. You can't. It's not just the prayer wheel. The prayer wheel is not just direct perceiver in this school.
In this school, direct perceiver means manifest phenomena. That's all.
Okay, so then I thought you just said you cannot just use the word manifest phenomenon.
No. What I'm saying here, like direct perceivable. That word probably shouldn't use.
Okay.
Direct perceivable.
But direct perceiver is just the phenomenon.
It's a manifest phenomenon. It is a self phenomena.
Okay.
Out of three, that's manifest phenomena.
So we could use, instead of direct perceiver, we could just use the word manifest phenomenon.
Yeah, but when you talk about synonym, they have to have two. Otherwise, you can't just talk about synonym. There's no.
But is there a reason why we use the word direct perceiver instead of just manifest phenomena?
Yeah, because this very understandable. People who are studying Tanya, they are coming, they are kind of evolving, but not at the same time, their whole understanding is not evolving, but intellectually they are moving up and up, but not practically, their view is changing. That's how the system has been developed, because people's view is changing. And here we are just studying whole view, but we all carrying all the view here. So then direct perceiver used to be consciousness, right?
Right.
So now here, if you carry them, then in order to eliminate that, so then here direct perceiver is not consciousness. It's just phenomena.
Okay.
Manifest phenomena. Did I answer your question? Probably not.
It answers it. It answers it in saying that I can say, oh, my direct perceiver notebook, my direct perceiver cushion. I mean, it's just a phenomenon. But the word in English, perceiver, has a really different, I don't know in Tibetan, but it has the a completely different meaning.
Yeah, so there's no, in Tibetan Muslim also, Muslim, when you say Muslim, usually people are thinking about consciousness, usually people are thinking of consciousness. When you read this here, now that whole concept changed. Muslim does not mean consciousness. It means manifest phenomena, It's like much bigger. So I think,
Please go ahead.
So now, did we solve this problem? I think, Chikla.
Yeah.
Do you want to say no? Yeah, please give that mic to John. No, it's not okay. So maybe he have something to say.
Well. If I read Glenn Svensson's translation, it makes perfect sense to me.
Uh-huh.
But it seems to be completely different than what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's like that translation is very easy, because they're saying something which is not in the root text. Huh?
Okay.
So now
I need to think about it more then.
What do you want to say?
Well, it seems like we're interchanging the words perceiver and perceivable. Like, I think if we say directly perceivable object, then it all makes sense to me. But I don't see how a prayer wheel can be a direct perceiver, but I can see how it can be a directly perceivable
yeah,
object.
That's the problem, because the problem, like you can't think the prayer wheel is direct perceiver.
Mm-hmm.
Because your understanding of direct perceiver is based on Vasubandhu, not based on Vibhastika, Sastantika, mindfulness school. That's the problem.
Okay. So I just need to think of the word perceiver as something totally different.
Yeah, you need
before.
To change. You need to change. If you keep thinking like that, no, so doesn't matter. If like 2 years you talk about this, it's not going to make change. If you keep, if you're carrying that same understanding from the lower school, so then yeah, it's kind of shocking, like, oh, how come that you are saying the prayer is direct perceiver? Doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't make sense. But that's how they define, you know, direct perceiver. They don't define on the consciousness. They define, for them, the Pasangika is direct perceiver, simply means manifest phenomena. It doesn't mean consciousness. It used to be consciousness. This is a conceptual, non-conceptual, direct perceiver, all this consciousness. You know, and here, there's so much change. There's so much change. Not just that one. So say, then right after that, another shock. Right after that, right after that.
Okay, the next line. Subsequent cognizers are pervaded by valid direct perceivers.
See, that's big shock. No, so that's like a subsequent cognizer is not direct at all in all the other schools. You know, is not valid at all. So now they are saying not just valid, they are saying direct perceiver. And not just that they're valid. They used to be non-valid, non-direct perceivable. Yeah.
Well, you know, it took us a long time to understand that a second moment is not valid. Now that finally we're getting to where our old understanding used to be.
Yeah,
right?
See?
We were right all along.
So now, change, you know, now that's... So now, see, isn't it shocking?
Yeah.
Big shock, big surprise, no? We used to be saying... Oh, second moment, that subsequent cognizer is not direct, valid cognizer because in the first, you know. Oh, and then just forget about direct perceiver, that's not even close, no. So now they are saying it is valid, it's a direct perceiver. If we are thinking, carrying the same thinking, it's going to be a problem. It's not going to make sense at all. So it's not just that we think, oh, they are 100% wrong, which is not. They are wrong because they are ultimate systems. Pasangika is the ultimate systems. So now when you think, so now still probably Steve that no first moment of conversion cognizer. So it will take some time, so I will probably next Friday definitely I'll have answer. The first moment of infusion cognizer is not why not that. That's not illustration of the first one. if I think probably 10 minutes quietly, I may find the answer, but then you just have to sit there, you know, then I don't like that. So if I spend 10 to 15 minutes just think, I may find answer. So I'll do that in my home, not here, the class.
So Geshe-la, so when it says subsequent cognizers, so subsequent cognizers are... Second moment onward.
Exactly. Second moment of every valid cognizer in all these lower systems. That's what it is. Huh? It's same here. It's same. Second moment. The moment doesn't change. It's all not the first moment. Subsequent cognizer is always second moment in every system. Second moment. Huh?
So subsequent cognizers are all valid direct perceivers.
Hmm?
But then it says, earlier it said, the first moment... There's an example of the former or second moment of an inferential cognizer. So conceptual valid direct perceivers are second moment of an inferential cognizer onward.
Non-conceptual valid perceivers?
So...
Yeah. Shanghai, what did you say?
I don't, well, I'm still trying to think of what I said. Okay.
So can you read?
So what I was saying is, okay, it says, first of all, it says subsequent cognizers are pervaded by valid direct perceivers. So the second moment onwards are valid direct perceivers. Right? We agree on that. Okay. Then, second moment onward of a cognizer.
Cognizer.
Second moment onwards of a cognizer.
Please don't bring the chair here.
So second moment onwards are valid direct perceivers. Okay, we get that. So now I'm going back to the example. What it said, example of a conceptual valid direct perceiver is a second moment of an inferential cognizer.
Mm.
So conceptual valid direct perceiver. I don't know. I have to think about it. This is like mental gymnastics here.
See, so the second moment, so now, okay, second moment of implicit.
Of an inferential cognizer realizing sound as impermanent.
So keep that in your mind, okay, second moment of inferential cognizer realizing sound as impermanent. Mm-hmm. So even the Tibetan word is also long too, so dami dato di jeba ki jiniba. So there's probably equal distance here. second moment of inferential cognizer realizing sound is impermanent. So that is the illustration of
conceptual valid direct perceiver.
No, conceptual valid direct perceiver. Why it's like direct valid perceiver. So is direct because it's subsequent cognizer. See, it's subsequent cognizer because it's direct. It is. Then it's direct because it's subsequent cognizer. That makes sense? Because they are synonym. We will be step by step. Okay, step by step. Otherwise, our heads are going to. So then, what is the illustration of?
Conceptual valid direct perceiver.
Here, conceptual, non-conceptual. There's two important things to understand. Conceptual, non-conceptual. Non-conceptual does not mean direct perceiver. Okay? Understand?
No.
Because we don't understand, because that we are carrying also the same understanding from the before. Just go, one thing now, hold on. Please hold on. Go on. Second moment of inferential cognizer realizing sound is impermanent. That is direct, valid, perceiver, because it is subsequent cognizer. Because every second moment, every cognizer is subsequent cognizer. That's clear. Now, it is conceptual. You understand? Yeah, because it's inferential, or another way to say it's conceptual, because the way that particular mind interacts with the object through meaning generality, through mental image. It's not like this, no? Mental image. Therefore, it's conceptual. So there's still another mystery needs to solve, the stiff first moment.
Statements are saying the same,
but then it means conceptual valid direct perceiver.
Not answering our
No, no, first to understand. If we don't understand, we are not going to solve any problem at all. We are not going to solve, first just to understand the materials, first to just understand the materials, subsequent, second moment of subsequent cognizer, realizing sound is impermanent, why that is direct perceiver, because it's subsequent cognizer, because subsequent cognizer and direct perceiver, they are synonym. That's all. So first, as I said, first just to understand the material, then need to solve the why not first moment. Without,
we'll make it valid.
Because subsequent cognizer is synonym with the direct valid perceiver. Because this is subsequent cognizer.
Right. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So see, not knowing the materials, not going to solve any problem at all. Yeah.
Okay. Subsequent cognizer is synonymous with valid direct perceiver.
Yeah.
Valid direct perceiver is synonymous with manifest phenomena.
No, direct.
Direct perceiver, not direct valid perceiver. So see, there's, to solve this, really, really precise. Otherwise, head will
but
spin.
So that's
like. Like guys, the head will spin, like
top.
I say,
like a top.
Head will speed the fastest speed. I say, not just
the fastest speed. Head
will spin the. Head will spin
at the fastest speed.
The head will spin at the fastest speed. If we don't understand the material.
Okay, but the sentence before that we were going over and over that was causing so many problems, you said valid direct perceivers are not pervaded by directly perceivable, and that's when we got into that whole conversation about valid direct perceivers being manifest phenomena. So what we're really saying is that it's direct perceivers, forget the valid. But that sentence that we just went over and looked at all the translations.
Direct perceiver, direct perceiver, manifest phenomena, synonym.
Okay. I just want to point that out because the sentence that we were looking at that caused all of that conversation says valid direct perceiver are not pervaded by directly perceivable, blah, 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 blah.
Yogic direct, but not a valid, no, that's where you saw.
Well, there's a whole sentence that caused the problem that I guess misunderstood, so we're just talking about direct perceivers.
Direct yogic perceiver.
The last sentence.
I got that part. But also direct perceiver is synonymous with the manifest phenomenon.
Exactly.
And then valid direct perceiver is something completely different.
The yogic perceiver sees it as the Buddha then, right? He sees for it the sound is impermanent, and he doesn't see it through inference, he just sees it.
Directly, exactly right. Yeah. Well said, yeah.
Okay, but then we have ordinary yogic perceivers, right?
Ordinary, so far the ordinary yogic perceiver doesn't exist. Maybe it will eventually in America, but so throughout the history. ordinary direct yogic perceiver. There's no such a thing.
So I just have one more sort of definition question.
Oh, yeah.
Is a valid direct perceiver a consciousness?
Direct valid,
a valid direct perceiver.
That's more like consciousness, you know.
Okay.
That's more like consciousness.
That's what I'm saying. It's the difference.
Yeah.
We just had this whole conversation about not being consciousness, but valid is the defining term that makes it consciousness.
Right. Sorry. So then, you know, sometimes it takes time to understand. first moment of inferential cognizer, realizing sound is impermanent. It's another illustration of the
conceptual valid direct.
Yeah, so that probably takes some time for me to solve. But it's solvable. It's like solvable. It's like
solvable.
Solvable. I see. Another word.
Solvable. There's an answer.
Answerable.
Answerable.
That's answerable, but it takes time. So.
So would you go back and tell us why non-conceptual is not equivalent to direct perception? Right.
All the non-conceptual, in this case, all the consciousness is not direct perceiver at all, right? Because direct perceiver is synonym with the manifest phenomena. So that excludes all the consciousness.
Oh, I see.
All the consciousness. The consciousness can be direct, valid perceiver, but not direct perceiver.
So wait. So, I see, okay. And conceptual consciousness is another further division of that. Right? So a valid direct perceiver is a consciousness, and a consciousness can be a conceptual consciousness or
non-conceptual.
Or non-conceptual consciousness.
So now that is based on how the consciousness interacts. If the consciousness interacts the object directly, means without going through mental image or meaning generality, kultinji. So that is non-conceptual. If the consciousness they interact with the object through meaning generality or the mental image, then that's conceptual. Oh.
My last question.
Yeah.
I never seen it again.
No. That's not true. You get right many times.
Okay. Now, a valid direct perception then is dependent on a consciousness to validly perceive it. Is that right?
Right.
Oh, okay. So then it doesn't really exist. It's just exists dependent.
Yeah, dependent, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that clears up something in my mind.
Well, good. Wonderful. Yeah, good. Yeah, so stop here. No, Chukula. Stop here. No. No. Okay. Okay, I'm not tired. So, what time does we should stop?
Midnight. Whatever you like.
People have to go to work tomorrow.
I hope so.
So now it's only one page finished. We have only left one page.
Huh? No, but this is the last class,
is it? Huh? Is this the last class?
No.
There's one more class.
Yeah.
And we got, we have a lot more than we need to get through in one time.
So the next part we just read. And then we just visualize. Then we go to the Vajrayana practice to just visualize. So it's okay, now 10 is completely finished. I understand everything perfectly well. Yeah. Everything is just fine. You finish that last part. You finish the read.
There are four kinds of inferential cognizer. Oh. Inferential cognizer arising by the power of the fact. Inferential cognizer arising through renown.
So the first one is inferential cognizer interacting with the impermanent. That's the one, okay? That's just an example, not just, don't just think about only impermanent. That's an example. Probably the second one.
Inferential cognizer arising through renown.
Yeah, the renown is, here in America, the man in the moon is renowned. Renown?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding of that, there's no direct perceivable. Whatever the understanding of this inferential cognizer, that's called second one.
Mm-hmm.
In Tibetan case, rabbit in the moon, rabbit in the moon. I'm saying, the second one, isn't it?
Inferential cognizer that realizes the meaning through an example.
Something like that, okay. Do you see this house? Which has crow, that's John's house. Something like that, Showing where the John are, there's the minute house. Then one that's has a crow, mm-hmm. real crow. So that's John's it. So that's like two examples identifying the fact. Like something like that.
An inferential cognizer arising through belief.
Yeah, that's like being generous. Next life, generate more wealth. So that's like, that's totally depends on, how you say, scriptures. No, scriptures. Or practicing patience will be, next life will be very attractive. No? Mm-hmm. Like that. These are quite easy, no? Yeah.
Inferential cognizer arising through a noun, an inferential cognizer that realizes the meaning through an example, mm-hmm. are included in inferential cognizer by the power of the fact.
Yeah, these are not, how to say, even John's house you can see, but you know, John's house is not, how to say, the object is like hidden phenomena, it's not manifest phenomena. The object. So that's why it's forced into
the power of the fact.
Yeah, power of the fact. That is like object, the first object. Object. So that's why first one,
arising through a noun.
Next thing. I can read it.
Inferential cognizer arising through a noun and
yeah.
inferential cognizer that realizes the meaning through an example
mm.
are included in inferential cognizer by the power of the fact.
Mm.
So does it just mean these are subsets?
Subdivision. No.
If it is a valid cognizer, it is not pervaded by being non-mistaken with respect to its determined object.
Mm.
Because an inferential cognizer realizing sound as impermanent is a mistaken consciousness with respect to sound as impermanent.
Mm. This, no, as I already explained,
yes.
It's mistaken because object appears as inherent existence. No? Mm.
If it is a consciousness, it is pervaded by realizing its object of comprehension because the mental image of a rabbit's horns is the object of comprehension of a conception apprehending the horns of a rabbit. And the mental image of sound as permanent is the object of comprehension of a conception apprehending sound as permanent.
So then, can you repeat it one more time, please? Shiva, you know?
If it is a consciousness,
hmm?
It is pervaded by realizing its object of comprehension.
So that's every consciousness, whether it's mistaken, unmistaken, every, no. No. So that's another big difference based on the all these three lower systems. It's a big difference, huh? Maybe next Saturday, next Friday, only like then two sessions left. Yeah. See.
I didn't understand the paragraph before. You said you already explained it, but about how the inferential cognizer realizing sound is impermanent, it's mistaken. Why is it mistaken?
Because object appears as inherent existence. Because only mind, see, that's unmistaken in the Pasankhya system is mind that sees emptiness directly. That's only mind that's unmistaken. Other than that, all other mind is mistaken because mistaken respect to the object, the way the object appears is inherently. That's why it's mistaken. So here, mistaken does not mean invalid. It can be invalid, in the same way it can be mistaken, no? Other system, valid means unmistaken, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then Friday, next Friday we'll finish. Ashvila. So then, the next Friday then I will come up with the first question that Steve raised, beginning of the class. The first moment, if there is a cognizer, cognizer realizing sound is impermanent.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So I learned a great deal of English just in the 10th class. I'm not sure what. Maybe you learned a great deal, so.
We did learn a great deal.
Yeah, good, wonderful, that's good. So that all the English that I learned from here, but no may stay here a long time. So when the class is over, it's also. Yeah, I planned a lot of like improv English seed in my brain, so it's going to recycle again. Going to repeat. You know, like how this, like I don't know. So. Everything that we do in this life has is kind of hint. Something from life before this kind of hint, you know, but we don't pay attention. So I was always wondering that where I created this karma to explain the very philosophy in the language that I don't speak, whereas I don't know how, where, or maybe like I was born in 1968. At that time, I don't think anybody teach Tenet in English-speaking country. 1968? Anyway, so another mystery to solve. Not related to the Tenet class, but related to my own mind.
We have created the cause in our previous lives to get this tennis class from you. So, you know, we are grateful that, you know, that we have that. You know, maybe it's not so wonderful for you, but it's wonderful.
So now this is a very good opportunity to one of us to be perfect. This is perfect. Either English language or otherwise, you know, again next life. So I'll be sitting somewhere there, then one of you sitting here. Okay, so I don't understand what you're trying to say. So. Maybe 7 Mani Mantra for Aline, and please think, each one of you think from your heart, so that a part of this money recitations to eliminate all the confusion at the farther state, then able to see, may she able to see a Tara very clearly and show her the path to next life, okay?
Om Dare Do Dare Do Re So.